Welcome to Flip the Script, a mental health podcast. I'm your host, Jana Cohn. Whether you know the darkness of depression yourself or have supported someone in their pain, you've come to the right place. My mission is to empower you to take control of your mental health because nothing else in this entire world matters more. If you're listening in the midst of depression right now, I hope this show gives you assurance that you are not alone and that life doesn't have to be so hard. But you must first desire to feel better and get better. This podcast is a step in the right direction. If you're listening because you're walking alongside someone dealing with depression, thank you. You can always find me on Instagram at jana.cohn and be sure you're subscribed to my email list in the show notes so you never miss an episode. Together, we can flip the script on mental health. Enjoy. Natalie, I know we have been planning this recording for quite some time, and I just thank you so much for giving us your expertise and your time to chat today.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for this. And it just feels like the right day, I'll be honest. Like, you know?
I agree. And so for those of you listening, we have rescheduled this probably, I know at least two.
Yeah.
Maybe three times. Because right. You had something going on and then I did. And then I think I had something else again. So I feel like it's the right time to record this. It's just turning spring here. I know, Natalie, you're in Virginia, but It is just turning spring. I'm looking out my window right now and just people are in their yards and things are blooming and I am beyond ready for it. Like This winter has been especially dark and gloomy. And so I am just so happy to see some spring weather. I don't know about you, but I have just been feeling it this year.
Oh yeah. I mean, this has been a true winter, like a true hibernating, or like the energy has just felt very like, let's just retreat for a little bit. Like, I don't know. It just, that's what it has felt like. And now finally, it feels like the energy is shifting. It's getting warmer. The flowers are blooming. The trees are blooming, all that. And I think it's just, I don't know. It's, I can feel the energy shift. So just for anybody who, I keep telling my clients this and people that I talk to, if you didn't start the new year with this renewed feeling, and maybe you usually get that and you didn't have it this year, I think it's just in the collective. We've all kind of experienced that. Not everybody, obviously, but a lot of people.
Yeah. I agree with that. Totally agree and relate to that altogether. And so for those of you, if you don't know Natalie, of course, I'm going to link all of her information in the show notes. But when Natalie and I first got connected, it was over human design because we are both projectors and we ended up in a mastermind together and just really connected, not only because we are the same energy type as projectors, but just we are both very in sync for a lot of the ways that we feel and the way that we move through things, especially as entrepreneurs, and trying to filter out all the noise. And Natalie, I know you have built your platform on the embodied entrepreneur, and you have a podcast, you have a membership, and your whole platform, in my opinion, from watching you, has been about sustainability in the long run for your business, but also your health and nutrition. And I know you have specific training in the nutrition world. So kind of tell us a little bit about that, what you stand for, so people can get to know you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a certified nutrition coach and I'm certified in EFT tapping. So when I started learning more about nutrition, like nutrition is a tool. It's a great tool. And it, you can meet any kind of goal that you want to when you are fueling yourself properly. And with working with entrepreneurs, I realized that, well, I work with female entrepreneurs. And when we start a business, especially if you're just starting out, or if you're kind of getting your footing and you're making moves and creating momentum, one of the first things that can go is your taking care of yourself. But we kind of manifest from our physical body, right? We manifest our business, the results that we have, everything around us through our actions here on earth, right? And we have to fuel ourselves well in order to do that. But the mindset is, I don't have time for that. That kind of falls to the back burner a bit. And my message to women is that we can integrate mind, body, and business. And all of the things you do to take care of yourself are actually business tasks. Because when you are an entrepreneur, you're creating something that is self-expression. It is a piece of you and how you move through the world. It's your purpose in the world. So you have to, they're going to be integrated. So if you're not fueling yourself well, and maybe you just need a little bit of a different approach. If you're not creating movement in your body and your emotions, that's where the tapping comes in. And making offers that feel aligned to you, that's another area of movement, in my opinion, then it's going to be hard to have, you're not going to feel very at home in your business. So I just want to help women to have, I want them to build a business where in 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, they're still going to be around. They're still, like, with longevity in mind, they're still going to feel good, have practices that help them to stay grounded and fueled in their own purpose so that they can continue on. I just don't want to see people burn out, you know?
That's so key, and something that isn't really talked about or focused on enough. We tend to compartmentalize different areas of our lives, right? Mm-hmm. So if our business is going really well, we might not be taking the best care of ourselves physically, or we might be so exhausted, we are so burnt out, nothing feels good, and then it just spirals, and you add on top of that lack of movement, blah, 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 and it is the perfect storm.
Yeah.
So I think that focusing on such a full picture approach, because especially as entrepreneurs, the way we feel directly impacts our business. Have I learned that this past year or what? There were times, and I'm still going through it, where I have just felt so awful that I couldn't even bring myself to move the needle in my business. So I think if we can catch ourselves on the front end of things before things start slipping, it's just better all the way around.
Yeah. And it's like about just creating that baseline for you too, because even so, even with the best, you know, plan and the best, you know, practices for yourself, there are still going to be times where, you know, if for anxiety and depression, like that is going to be, it's going to make it even harder, right? So it's not that, you know, fueling yourself perfectly and I say perfectly, like that's achievable, you know, fueling yourself optimally and, you know, moving your body and moving emotions, like that is a great baseline, but there's still going to be times that are harder, but we don't need to make it harder on ourselves by not having that baseline. You know what I mean? That's the bottom line. I slip too, but having the tools to kind of redirect myself and the awareness and the tools to tap back into to help climb out of the pit a little bit, you know, makes a big difference.
Yeah. So when you start working with a new client, you do you dig into all aspects of their life? Like not just business, but you want to know it all. Like,
oh yeah. Yes. Because, it's not really the, you know, I need to eat well, I need to eat better, I need to exercise more. These are things that I hear, but it's not, so they know, you know, they know these things, and then we have to define what better means and where you are now, where are you starting from, but what is going on in your life? What is your day like? What are your, what are all of the strains that you have? What's all, what's that load that you're carrying right now that's keeping you, preventing you from taking these steps? You know, one of the first things we do, what that I do with clients, is find where they can delegate. Where are they taking on too much that they necessarily don't need to be taking on? What can they cut out for a time? And it's not always forever, right? It's just for a time so that they can prioritize themselves. And there's a lot of beliefs around that too. Well, I have to be the one to, you know, mow the lawn or make my kids' lunches when they're perfectly old enough to do it. That's one thing that I had to catch myself on. Like, just as an example, my kids make their own lunches now. They're 13, 11, and 8. So I taught them how to do it. They can do it. It's like one less thing that I have to do, that my husband has to do. Just little things like that, where you can be like, okay, that freed up time for me to make my own lunch, you know? And then there's, do you have a lot of people starting a business? They have a, maybe a full-time job or a part-time job. There's a lot of different hats, especially as women, that we wear, or they're volunteering at different places, and they're very active in their school. They have all these things they want to do. And I want to help them to kind of prioritize themselves. Like, let's bring it back into focus, because if you spend the next 6 months, 12 months focusing on you in this area, it's going to make everything else so much better, so much easier. You're going to see the ripple effect, not just with you, but with your business. You're going to see it with your kids, your community, the people that you serve, your clients. So, but to answer your question, yes, I look at every nook and cranny.
I think that's really important, because in my experience, before I really got real with myself about how challenging my depression was, I just kept hitting roadblock after roadblock and wall after wall when I was trying to move something within my business. Mm-hmm. When I uncovered and really became very open about, listen, I am fighting this beast of depression. Once I started working through that, things seemed to start moving in the right direction. And just like my podcast I recorded yesterday, I talked about, you know, over the years, and especially this past year, my focus has been on, okay, what, you know, what treatments or medications or whatever can I focus on, or can I, you know, do to help myself feel better. And now I'm again having to zoom way out and look at the full picture, you know, environmental factors. What is going on that is keeping me in this rut? So I think that that's really key with anyone that comes in to work, you know, with either of us, is that you often feel like when you get into a coaching relationship or a mentor relationship, in my experience, I go in thinking, okay, this is the thing that I want to work on, and this is what I want to fix, and this is how I want to handle it, and this is what I want to walk away with. But every time, it seems like I am shocked when I walk away from that, you know, program, coach, mentorship. It always brings up other parts of me that it's like holding up a mirror. Like, hey, yeah, you better look at this. You better work on this. So that's why I'm so passionate about helping women, you know, figure that out. And,
yeah.
And I think your expertise in bringing that like nutrition aspect into it and movement aspect is key, because having someone that understands all those aspects, because the world of entrepreneurship, it will drain you so fast, you won't even know what happened. Mm-hmm. And so if you can start on the front end with these healthy habits and check-ins, I think it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. And it's like that, because I do want this to work long-term, it's going to be different for everybody. And the solutions that work for one person might not even be an option for another person. So to build that sustainable long-term plan, do things need to tweak every once in a while? Yes. Like, we go through seasons and we have to change things up. In fact, I'm an advocate for that, because we do need to recognize that we are human, and especially females, we go through changes, right? Our bodies go through changes. Our life goes through changes. The amount of responsibility that we have ebbs and flows. So your plan should change, just like your business plan should change or can change if you need it to. So I like matching what each individual person has coming up to their strategies that they're using, because anyone can follow a meal plan. Anyone can follow a strict plan for a short amount of time. But what happens after that? You know, what do you do after that time is up? Like, there's no actual integration into the life of that individual, the business of that individual. So what happens is they tend to go back to what they knew before. So I really do focus a lot on the habits and the beliefs that you need in order to make those habits stick.
So I have a hot button topic that I want to ask you about, because it is a topic that is real common. I bet every person listening is going to be like, oh yeah, heard of that, know that, tried that, done that, failed, succeeded, hate it, love it, whatever. But that is 75 hard.
Yes.
And I resonate with it on the mental health scale, because I see red flags all over it. I have had a handful of friends who have completed it, and some have been whatever you even want to call successful, but they've mm-hmm. completed it successfully, mm-hmm. let's say. And some have felt the strongest mentally. Some have felt completely defeated because they didn't hit some sort of maybe a weight loss goal number. Mm-hmm. So in your whole world of this embodied entrepreneur and it all working together and all meshing together and being a balance, and it's not about a sprint for 75 days and then what? So I want to have a conversation around 75 hard with you. And disclaimer, I have never attempted 75 hard. I have no interest in it. I know myself to know it would not be pretty for me to do. So yeah, let's talk about that if you're okay with that.
Totally fine with that. I love it, because it is something that I see a lot of people doing. And I mean, kudos for people that are trying to change, right? They want to do something that will challenge them and push them. If you feel like you need a challenge in order to do that, like, I get that. It's a psychological thing. Like, we really want to say, I can do this, or let's see what I'm made of kind of thing. I think the first thing that comes to mind, there's several things, but the first thing that comes to mind is if it's like the access to the time commitment, because I've never done it either, because I know I think it's two workouts a day, right? And one has to be outdoors. You have to stick to a diet the whole time, right? No cheat days.
Right. Yeah. And so for those of you who are listening who maybe don't know 75 hard, there are six requirements that you're required to do 75 days in a row. Now, I was doing a little research before we did this podcast, and I was like, okay, what's the science behind 75 days?
Yeah.
From what I read, there is no science. It's just an intuitive number that the creator, the founder of 75 Hard created. And we're all mostly listening to this, probably business-minded, but I want you to know the creator of 75 Hard is also the creator of a supplement brand called First Form. So if you look at it from a marketing standpoint, and I went down the rabbit hole with this whole article and it made so much sense to me, it is a free, quote unquote, free program anyone can follow. But so if you succeed in the program, well, here's this product, here's this supplement, you need this to now go to the next level. Or if you didn't succeed, it's maybe because you didn't have this product,
wow,
or this supplement. And I was like, oh, dang, I didn't even think of that, that being a driving force. That's kind of a marketing genius ploy from someone who has built a brand.
Yeah.
So it has that backing, that foundation to the whole premise of the program. But what it is six things. You follow a diet. Now, the program doesn't give you any guidance on the diet. So you pick a diet. Mm-hmm. And to me, that sounds like a recipe for disaster unless someone's working with a person like yourself, mm-hmm, who's knowledgeable. Like, you know, could I go keto, or is low carb right for me? Should I do intermittent fasting? Like, there are so many different options out there. So it's following a diet with no cheats,
right?
No cheat days, no cheat meals. 2 45-minute workouts, one of those which must be done outside, rain or shine, snow, whatever. One must be done outside. You take a progress picture daily, which I think could have its own host of issues. You drink a gallon of water a day. You read 10 pages of a book. And the book has to be nonfiction and personal development focused. And it even goes on to be specific in saying that you can't listen to the book, like no audibles. And then the sixth rule is no alcohol. And that's for 75 days. And if you mess up, you have to start over.
Yeah. That's probably the biggest. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Talking about like kick me when I'm down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's perpetuating the all or nothing mindset that people already have. I'll start on Monday. Oh, I messed up this week. I'll just start again on Monday. There's nothing magical about Monday. Like you can start now. You can just make the next right choice, which is what I recommend for my clients to do, because we are not life. Like my original point was like, life is not set up into like, here you go. Maybe if you are, you know, a young dude, not married, no kids, not clocking in, clocking out. Like, I don't know, maybe you can clock in and clock out. I don't know about that part, but you can exercise whenever every day is the same. Like, you know, there's so many different variables that it just doesn't, they say it's something that anybody can do. It's really not something that everybody can do, in my opinion. And when you fail at something, which is ridiculous to be holding yourself up to that, you know, that level of attainment that's like not possible, then you're giving yourself that signal that I'm not good enough. It just repeats these things that are already wired in people. Like, I couldn't cut it. I'm not good enough. And you're starting over and over and over again. And it's very arbitrary too. So like 75 days is an arbitrary number, and a gallon of water is an arbitrary amount of water. So a 250-pound male is going to drink the same amount of water as a 150 50-pound woman. Like, that's not,
yeah,
not advisable, in my opinion. The diet, follow a diet. Yeah, it doesn't, it doesn't make sense, especially if you're going into if you're looking at doing this for a weight loss goal, it's going to kind of backfire. I've seen it backfire because, you might not necessarily know what your needs are. Like, how do you know what your baseline needs are? Do you know what you're going into this quote diet trying to attain? Do you know what's reasonable? What is a healthy rate of fat loss? Do we know that we're actually losing fat? What workouts are you choosing? Are they HIIT workouts all the time, which can put your body into a lot of unnecessary fight or flight all the time? You know, if you're doing a lifting program and then a yoga class, but how are you gonna do the yoga outside? How are you doing? Like, are you walking? There's so many different variables that are not controlled for. So going into a 75 hard with the expectation to lose weight. And when we say lose weight, we really mean lose fat, right? Because hopefully we're not losing muscle, which could happen. And you're not really accounting for all these variables, you're going to be disappointed. The chances are of being disappointed are much higher. Does it get you? I mean, there are good sides of this too, creating habits of moving your body every day, but it doesn't have to be balls to the wall for it to be effective. You can literally walk most of the day and then most of the, you know, days of the week, get, you know, it depends on the person, at least 6,000 steps, 8,000 steps, something like that. And then build muscle with a weightlifting program that's progressive overload weightlifting 2-3 times a week. It doesn't have to be this always sore, live sore mentality. In fact, it doesn't really work for a lot of women. So
yeah,
there, I could go on and on. There's a lot there.
One thing that I was reading is that there is power to the mental toughness that it creates. And it's more about that mental fortitude than it is about the physical results. However, the average person is wanting to do something like 75 hard for a major physical transformation, I would guess.
Yeah.
So the mental challenge, if you are not set up in your nervous system to be able to handle that, I think it could send you down a total freaking spiral. It's wild. And one thing that I have heard from a few people who have completed it is that you must first read the book that this founder wrote to go along with 75 Hard. So I have been told that reading that book prior to beginning sets you up to understand why you're doing all of these things, which I think is important. The people that I have talked to who have been successful in completing it have stressed you must read that book. And like you said, you know, it does teach you healthy habits. You know, you probably do start feeling better in moving your body. You can look at, you know, not necessarily a picture from day 2 to day 3 and see a change, but maybe from day 2 to day 22 and see a change.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's one of those things. I think you have to go through each element and decide, okay, what does this do for me, or what does it not do for me?
Yeah.
I just think it could be the recipe for a disaster if a person doesn't start off in the right place, or if someone has ever, you know, been susceptible to disordered eating, mm-hmm. or has some, you know, diagnosis with an eating disorder, and then they do something like this, I think it could just spiral.
Yeah. So hard. And I want people to know too, that it takes a lot of mental strength to decide, okay, I didn't do all six things today. I know I'm supposed to start over, but like it takes a lot of mental strength and fortitude to decide this doesn't mean anything about me, and I just make the next right, best choice that I can. So you can take that, the mental, I think it's harder to commit to another lifetime, the rest of my lifetime of day in, day out, these healthy habits, like walking. If you can see yourself doing it tomorrow and you can see yourself doing it 5 years from now, then that's a sustainable practice that I want you to do. And it does take mental strength and flexibility to be like, it's okay. I know I didn't do this one thing I needed to do, but I did. What did I do? And keep track of your wins from where you started, and just shift instead of having to start over. I think that's probably the biggest thing for me, is you have to start over. It's the start and stop, all or nothing mentality. That, and what's the exit plan? Maybe there's an exit plan. I don't know, but there should be an exit plan for every challenge you do, you know?
Right. So like, what happens on day 76? Are you so glad you don't have to work out, you know, for an hour and a half again that day? Yeah. You know, it's just like, what's next?
The no rest days thing too is we're talking, we want to change our body composition, which is really what people say, especially women, I want to get toned. That to me means, I know what that means. They want to have visible muscle. They want to be lean and see muscle, but lose fat and show muscle. That's what they want. That's body recomposition. And so in order to do that effectively, you need to build muscle, and you need to know how much food you need, which is your fuel that you need in order to maintain that or to support that muscle growth. It's different for everybody. Some people come in with lots of muscle and they just need to shed fat, and that's a different story. But a lot of women will come in with, they actually need to build muscle, and you can't be eating in a calorie deficit in order to do that. So there's different techniques you can use so that you're not going into like a surplus if you don't want to gain too much, you know, fat at the same time. But like, there are strategies in place, and one of those strategies is recovery. The stimulus for muscle growth is in the gym, and muscle's actually built in your recovery, in your food, your rest, your sleep. So the no rest days I have a problem with also. Like, we need rest days. It doesn't mean you lay on the couch all day. Go for a couple different walks, but your body, you're actually building your muscle when you allow it to rest.
That's such a great point. You know, it's not the recipe to achieve whatever you want, whether it's to be more toned, whether it's to lose a certain amount of weight, whether it's to whatever. This 75 Hard program almost says, hey, if you do these six things for 75 days straight, you'll achieve that. Right. And that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, I would rather optimize my training to support the goal that I have in mind rather than an arbitrary one. You know, like if I'm going to devote 75 days, which is not nearly enough time to have like real you know, real sustainable change that will last you a long time. But that's why when people come to me, I ask them, what are your goals? What do you actually want? So that we can tailor your training, your food, your strategy to that goal. So it's just the one size fits all thing. You know, it's like if you are in business and someone's selling you the one framework that will grow your business. We know, like we used to think that was right, but now we know that there's so many different ways to grow your business, and it depends on what your goals are and what your lifestyle is like and what you want. Right. So it's the same. I find so many parallels with business and nutrition and, you know, health. I would recommend optimizing if you're going to spend time and energy and resources and money on a specific goal to have the correct strategy for it.
Yeah. I love that analogy with business. That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And picking things that you can still see yourself doing a year down the road.
Yeah.
5 years down the road. Wow. So just for instance, let's just say, so people listening can get an idea. So if I came to you as a client and you know a little bit about my background, I do not have a healthy relationship with the gym from competing back in the day. And then I have always been in this mindset of, well, if I'm not going to look like I did when I was competing, then what am I doing this for? And that's a disordered thing in my head. And I don't really follow a diet at all. I also don't enjoy cooking. Thank God I have a boyfriend who cooks, and he does cook pretty healthily. So yes, that's good. And I haven't really discovered, I think this is a big problem for me, is I haven't discovered a form of working out that I really enjoy. That's really fun to me.
Yeah.
And I know that working out maybe isn't necessarily supposed to be fun, but I don't enjoy, I know going to the gym and lifting weights is really good for me. And I don't have the fear that a lot of women do of, oh, I'm going to get bulky or anything like that. That's not my issue. I find it incredibly boring. And, you know, so I just, if I were coming to you as a client, I would say, okay, I need some help with my nutrition, because if anything, I probably don't eat enough. And there are probably women that can relate to that, or they may have the opposite of they know that they probably eat too much, but maybe it's the right amount. It's just the wrong things. Mm-hmm. And so you would look through all of that. Like, do you recommend that people keep a food log for a week or several days? And then do you help them figure out, you know, different types of exercises? Or, you know, for me, I'm like, how many days a week should I work out? Because I know if I tell myself I have to go every day, that's right there. I already don't want to go.
Yeah. These are so good. I love this so much. So first I would ask, you know, what is your goal? Like, I would want to know, what are we looking at? Do we want weight loss? Do we want just feeling good and being healthy, improving our energy? What is the main goal? So you can give me a hypothetical, or you can give me the real one. It's fine.
No, my real situation would be definitely energy and feeling overall better.
Yeah.
That, and personally for me, not necessarily losing weight, but toning up. But in terms of priority for me, honestly, it would be feeling better and having more energy, number one.
Cool. And in your human design, are you designed to be consistent? Do you know with your arrows?
I believe they are, let's see.
And I don't always use human design, but with people who know human design, I'll ask.
So the arrows are around the head, the two on the left, well, they're all pointing in towards the.
So the left ones are pointing to the right. Okay, so that means that you're not meant to be consistent. Yeah. And that's actually a really great tool to help, and if, especially if that resonates with you. If it didn't resonate with you, then I wouldn't really, we don't need to harp on it. So I'm not, I'm not like a human design pusher, but but since we have that, okay. So I always like to know where we're starting from, so I have a clear picture, because I do use a lot of data and I want to have that data in front of me. So I would want to know what you're eating now, and that I ask clients to do that in whatever way feels comfortable to them. Sometimes it's tracking in like MyFitnessPal. Sometimes it's using a food log. They write out what they had. And sometimes, very often, is just taking pictures and sending it to me. So it's just like we have our phone anyway. Take a picture, send it to me, and I can kind of, they might need to tell me what's on the sandwich or what, you know, whatever, but it gives me an idea of where they are. And then I will look for nutritional deficiencies. Like the number one thing I'll see, especially for women, is protein being too low. And that's one thing that if you just increase your protein, you don't need to go overboard, but you really can't hurt yourself with this. Like it's not something you can hurt yourself with. But I would say for women, like you do it per your body weight. So there's a science behind it. So your body weight, so anywhere between 0.7 and one per body weight. So say 150 pound woman, I got to do some math here because calculator, 150 pound woman times 0.7 would be 105 grams of protein. Okay. And that's on the lower end, but that's still a good optimal. Like if you just want to be healthy, I would go with on the lower end, we would start there. Cause especially if a woman's coming in, they're getting like 40 grams of protein in, which I've seen, you know, low numbers like that. We can't just jump to 105. They're going to feel like that's crazy. It's not doable. It's not sustainable. So we'll stair step that. We'll baby step that. But it could be up to 150 grams, you know, saying they are, let's just say they really want to build muscle and they want to be satiated. They want to build muscle and be toned, get to that toned look. That protein is going to help them feel more satiated, and it's going to support the muscle building, muscle maintenance that they want. So I'll look for those nutritional deficiencies and we will just kind of attack that first. Like that's the first thing we're going to go after. Maybe there's an absence of vegetables and we just need to add some more veggies on there. Maybe we're seeing a lot. I see this a lot too. We're so conditioned to be afraid of carbs that we're actually eating high fat and high carbs. So we're kind of high on both ends there. And just to find a balance between carbs and fats, because I believe you can have all of them. You just want to make sure you have an optimal amount of each of those. So we will talk about adding first, add protein, add vegetables, because what happens when you add protein and you add veggies, you're fuller. And you're not going to be reaching for those other things, especially if I have women that come and say, I have a sweet tooth. I really need something sweet or carby, like, you know, chips or cereal or something like that. And typically they think if they have a sugar addiction, but more often I'm seeing they're just deficient in carbs, like good, healthy carbs throughout the day and protein throughout the day. So once we correct those two things, their cravings kind of go away because their body's not freaking out like, I need energy. Give me the fastest energy you can, which is sugar. So that can kind of correct itself there. on the exercise. So I focus on adding. It's easier to add than to take things away, you know?
I love that. That's so different than what someone would be accustomed to coming in, you know?
Yeah.
I think, okay, gosh, all of this has got to go.
When yeah.
really you might just need to tweak the mixture. So
yeah. I love that. And the same with exercise. Like you, because you're not, if it doesn't resonate with you to be consistent every day doing the same thing, if that just on a, you know, gut level, intuitive level feels like that's not you, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. Like focus on the things that bring you enjoyment. Maybe it's a beautiful day and you feel like going for a walk, like just move your body more, I just ask people to fall in love with moving more. Maybe it's a dance class. Maybe you do feel motivated to go and do a, you know, just a quick upper body workout, or you want to hop on your bike and go on a bike ride. Just generally moving more, add movement in is going to help you to increase your energy, move emotions through, you know, give you that space to have the intuition come through. And then on a physical level, you actually, this is a fun fact people love to hear when I say this, but that hard workout that you do, that, you know, the purposeful hard workout that you do for an hour and you're coming out drenched, that's like 5% of your overall calorie burn in a day. 5%. The walking and the me moving my hands here, me driving, me mowing the lawn, me grocery shopping, cutting vegetables, doing the laundry, all the things. That is your non-exercise activity. And that actually burns closer to 15% of your calories for the day. And the rest of it is just you, your body, staying alive, digesting, pumping blood, cell turnover, blinking, like all that. Actually, blinking is probably non-exercise activity, but just you staying alive takes up the most of your calorie needs for the day. And last thing I'll say, because I know I could talk forever on this, but when you said your issue may be not eating enough, I see that very often because we either the very different factors, right? Right. Like we don't enjoy cooking or we don't actually enjoy food. I know people that just like, I eat just to live. Like I don't really care about it. Or they're so busy that they don't think about it, or they've been conditioned that they need to eat less, just eat less, just eat less. It actually slows down your metabolism. And so people are sometimes eating lower than their total daily energy expenditure, which is telling your body, we got to shut down some systems here. We got to shut down unnecessary systems here. Slow down that metabolism. We got to hold on to our fat stores. We just have to slow things down. So one of my favorite things to do is help women to optimize their metabolism by correcting that, starting to eat more throughout the day, just to support them more.
It is so fascinating to me because it doesn't feel like I'm signing up for this whole new life I'm going to have to go live.
Yeah.
And that is what I stray away from. I'm like, oh no, I do not want to have some huge overhaul of my life.
I'm not signing up for that. Interestingly though, sometimes that trips people up because they're like, they're untrusting of it. Like, that's it? I'm like, yes, over time, like gotta give it time. But they're so used to, I gotta clear out the food, you know, the bad food. I'm using air quotes in case you can't see me. I got to clear out all the bad food. I have to stop eating that. Like they are used to it being a big transition. So sometimes women will come to me, like we get started, they like it. When we get started, they're like, I don't trust it though. I'm like, you just have to trust the process because it really, this is what actually works in the long term and will stay working for you. Yeah.
One of my favorite sayings is slow and steady. And to me, anything I've ever done in my life that has been long-term, sustainable, successful has been a slow and steady Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, one thing at a time. And then you look back and think, oh, wow, that changed everything. So,
yeah.
So tell us, anyone listening, I know we've had quite the conversation from entrepreneur journey and to 75 hard to, you know, me, if I were to come on as a client, you know, kind of, it kind of gave people an idea of how you like to start working with them. Is the best way for someone to get in contact with you through Instagram? I know you have some amazing freebies as well and mm-hmm. a membership community. Tell us just a little bit about those. And of course, I'll link everything in the show notes.
Sure. Yeah. So I do one-on-one nutrition coaching, and it is rooted in, like, I bring nutrition to the plate, but I also help with your strategies, your behaviors. I'm certified in behavior change as well, so I can help you with however you need to set up your life for success. So one-on-one coaching. I also, because I work with entrepreneurs, I do have a membership and a mastermind to support women in there, because we need to have that community, right? If you're going to do something differently, you need to have the community of women that are doing this with you, this work with you. In my membership, there's training by me. There is guest trainers that come in that are maybe experts in areas of health that I'm not an expert in, and I want to bring them in to help people have a well-rounded approach. My mastermind is weekly. We meet weekly. We talk about actually growing a business and preserving our mind and body as well, so that everything is, you know, in integration, so that we can be successful on our own terms in our own way. My goal is to help people build a business that feels good to them, not just one that looks good on the outside. Because I think we've seen that a lot. Like, we see people with this, everybody has a burnout story for a reason, right? Because they burn out quick. But yeah, I have, you know, a free EFT tapping video for people if they want to let go of any self-sabotaging behaviors. So we all have those. I'll be creating more freebies like that. But follow me on Instagram. That's my favorite place to be. And I love talking to people in the DMs. I'm not one of those people that doesn't talk to people. I love it. So, and it's just at Natalie Barnett. Easy peasy.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Natalie. I know that this episode is going to serve many people well. So thank you for just taking the time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
Thank you for listening to Flip the Script, a mental health podcast. I'm your host, Jana Cohn. If you'd like to talk with me one-on-one, I have private sessions available now to book in the show notes. And please, if this episode spoke to you in any way and you want to join me in flipping the script on mental health issues, the best thing you can do is leave a review on whatever platform you're listening from. Or take a screenshot of this episode, tag me, and share to your social media. I'd also love to connect with you in the DMs on Instagram at jana.cohn. In the show notes, you can subscribe to my email list and never miss an episode. I'll see you here next time on Flip the Script.